Celtics 4-0. Kind of where we expected them to be following last year's championship. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll do a Celtics Wednesday with Terp coming up here in a moment. Real quick, a lot of the beat writers, just to clarify, we were speculating what stage Drake May was in of concussion protocol based on Gerard Mayo's update. Was he in stage two, aerobic exercise, or stage three, football specific? He's going to throw a football today. He's going to be limited at practice. He can't practice more than 30 minutes. And I guess that means he's in stage three of concussion protocol.
Moving along,
there's a chance he plays. I would still wager against it, but I would say largely that's good news.
Yes.
For Drake May, not just his availability this week, but long term. He's moving through the protocol and not sitting in the dark room somewhere.
Well, and selfishly, I really want him to play against the Bears so you get that Caleb Williams, Drake May matchup.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Selfishly, yeah. Mayo wants him out there this week
so he
can pay off on his wins prediction.
Maybe get another win.
I don't know how many wins we predicted for the Celtics this
year.
But
the number was low. The number
was 58.5, right?
I didn't bet that. I don't know why.
That was free money.
Yeah.
Seriously? You can win 60 games in its sleep.
58.5?
I'm not trying to bet a lot of minus 110, but that's what I should have bet.
Even if you moved it up a little bit, you can get it at plus money, probably like 59, 60.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's just free.
Go a few hams. Go five hams on
couple
that.
Couple hams.
Five hams.
Yeah, increase the units.
I'm not patient enough for the
increase
future
increase the payout.
I'm not patient enough.
I'm with you. I'm not a big future guy either.
I'm like, oh, wait. So I can lose it in 6 months? I can lose it tonight.
Yeah, what are you doing with my money in the meantime? What are you, a bank? What are you doing with my money?
Exactly. Maybe.
Yeah,
it's a good move.
I'll jam it in the mattress somewhere. So they look pretty good, huh, Terp?
Yeah, I'd say so. And the biggest thing that stuck out to me in a couple of these wins is just their ability to go on these long runs that just demoralize a team. Like, you look at the Detroit game, they were down by 6 with 5:12 left, rattled off an 18-6 run, just were flawless on both ends of the floor. Then you look in Milwaukee, that third quarter, 11-2 run, capped off by a Pritchard step back, 26 feet at the buzzer beater that just broke Doc Rivers. And then Washington, and they had the 54-52, they went on a 58-24 run. It's just, their ability to just take over a game like that, it's incredible.
So I think I found the Peyton Pritchard comp. You guys ready for the Peyton Pritchard comp? I was trying to come up with one yesterday, and I promised that I'd have one. Toronto Raptors championship team, Fred Van Fleet.
That's
too high, too low, right in the middle. Like, Fred Van Fleet got better after, like, Kawhi left, and he became more of, like, a go-to guy. And
he got paid last year. Yeah,
but
at
that time, he was a guy coming off the bench that could get hot and could get going. And I feel like Pritchard every year has gotten better. And now you're looking at him, you're like, I don't know, he could be, like, sixth man of the year candidate, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that really heated up during the preseason as well, just because of how well he played. And with him, too, it's just his confidence. Like, he shot 1 of 10 from the field on opening night.
Right.
And since then, it's just been, he hasn't been able to miss. It's insane. But I like that. I like that he can kind of heat up off the bench.
Because he's useful, and he helps this team. Like, he is the kind of guy that they need, because, like, their starting lineup is so good. And when you don't have Porzingis and you have to start Horford, all right, you're like, all right, well, who's going to come off the bench? Who's going to give him a minute, especially in the regular season? And, like, Peyton Pritchard's been able to do that. I know Sam Hauser's banged up, but that's another guy that should be able to do it. What have you thought about some of the other pieces that have played so far?
Yeah, I've, like, the double big lineup has been interesting because especially the first two games that Sam Hauser was out, they didn't go with another wing. They went with a double big instead. So a lot of people thought it was going to be Jordan Walsh, but it really wasn't. They really were tinkering with that. But I like Jordan Walsh against Milwaukee. I thought he was good in his limited minutes, played with good energy, and really filled that O'Shea Brissett role that everyone keeps talking about comparing him to.
Two-part question. Number one, yes or no. Jason Tatum can win MVP this year.
I don't see it.
You don't see it.
I don't see it.
Okay.
It's just,
so second part of the question, does he need to be in that mix for this team to repeat?
I don't think so. I mean, we saw last year that he can, because I think with the MVP, it's so often defined by scoring. And Jason Tatum has proven that he doesn't have to be defined by scoring. Look at the finals, for example. He didn't really shoot well during that series, but he led the team with points, rebounds, and assists. And just him using his gravity to, like, when teams show two at him, can he make the right read? Because that's really, the whole Celtics offense depends on getting two-on-one advantages. And Jason Tatum is the biggest kind of creator of those because they show two on him so often.
But
so
if you're not scoring and you're not shooting well, like, don't those kind of go hand in hand?
It's regardless, he's going to get attention because he's still going to score. It's just, is he going to score enough to be in the MVP conversation?
Yeah, so to me, I just can't imagine the path is as easy next year. I know people don't like to get hung up on that, but it's going to have to be harder this year, I would think. And so if it is going to be more difficult, Tatum may have to elevate his game that much more. That's the only reason I think he may have to elevate his game, because you're not going to get a bunch of injured teams, I don't think.
Yeah, but they also have so many different like mouths to feed too. That's another reason. Like it hurts him that the team is so talented for whatever reason. Like a lot of people like to bring
in
up
the MVP conversation,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people like to bring up the conversation like, oh, the best player on the best team should have more warrant and more attention towards MVP, but he just doesn't get that because the team is so talented. Where if you look at like OKC, SGA is clearly the best player on that team, and they all really understand that. So he can play. He's going to play like 78 games, whatever it is, and he'll be their leading scorer. And it'll be a good thing for him, whereas it's not for Jason Tatum, which that just doesn't make any sense to me, where it's always been kind of hot and cold with Tatum, where it's used against him in that sense, but towards other players, it usually benefits
him. It seems like voters already have their minds made up that it's going to be Gilgeous Alexander. For some reason, he's like the favorite. Everybody talks about him. It's like the young team that's not there yet. He is clearly the best player. There might be Jokic fatigue.
But don't you think Tatum's next in line before? I heard Wiggy and Mego talking about that. You think Luka's next in line even before Tatum?
Yeah.
So that I would see more than...
I think Luka is.
SGA's got to wait. That's how the NBA works.
Yeah, no, I know. But then I think to Terp's point, now that Tatum's team is so good, he's going to be penalized unless they win 70 games.
Yeah, so that's
if they win 70 games, that changes things.
Right, the overwhelming team success might get him into that.
I mean, they had a really good record last year, and they were way better than everybody else, but it didn't matter. It wasn't the tiebreaker.
He
finished sixth, didn't he? Fifth or sixth?
That February last year, they played almost all of their games on national TV, and he had one of his worst months shooting. And if you're going to take advantage of that, because the second half of the season, they're pretty much on national TV the whole entire time.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to have a real good opportunity to prove himself on the big stage when all these analysts, the people that have the votes, are going to be watching. So he's going to have a chance, just like he did last year, to prove himself.
So there was a report yesterday, New York Post, that Steve Pagliuca is angling to take ownership at a discount price for the Celtics.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll do that.
He's trying to get the other minority stakeholders to fall in line. And they can leverage the situation. To me, this feels desperate. Like, why do the other shareholders, why do they want to devalue the franchise? Why does the rest of the NBA want to devalue the franchise? So it feels desperate to me. By Pagliuca, if you had to guess, Terp, based on this report and what you're hearing, is it Pagliuca or someone else who'll be owning the Celtics?
Right now, Pagliuca's the only one that's expressed interest. Like, everyone's been rumored, but nobody's explicitly said.
Do you think he's going to get it?
I think that bidding process is going to have a lot to... Like, it's going to dictate a lot. But I think right now he has to be the front runner because he's the only one that's talked about it. He's the only one that's actually expressed interest. But it is interesting because a couple months ago, I think it was to the Globe, where Wick Grosbeck said there's not going to be any special perks or anything. So this is the bidding process is going to be the bidding process. And if you're the NBA, you're talking expansion going to Vegas coming up soon. You really think they want to see a $6 million franchise go for $5 million when you're making
a billion.
If you're making a new franchise,
no,
like, I don't think they
definitely
want to see
not.
That.
Although if you're in that world, and I know like the leagues make money, but if you're buying the Celtics, don't you come in? You're like, why are you selling the Celtics? Like, wouldn't one of your first questions be like, all right, you've had a great run, you're now at
because Dad's making me.
Yeah, no, and I know you're supposed to sell high. I get how stocks work, Jones. I understand stocks.
So you're
selling really high, but then you're like the payroll on the team is insane. You don't own the building that you play in. Like, you're paying rent to the Jacobs. So I don't know. Maybe they're not going to get the amount of money that they want. And so even though they're like, hey, we're not going to sell it at a discount, it's like, well, if all the bids are $6 billion, maybe you're not going to get $7 billion.
It was reported that last year they barely broke even, and they won 64 games at an NBA Finals. Like, they were the best team. Because
their payroll's insane.
The payroll's insane. Yeah. And that's another thing is when these luxury taxes, because of the second apron, start to kick in, you're looking at, like, how is it? You can't keep this roster together. How can you justify doing that when you're paying as much in the salary and the luxury taxes as you are for the roster itself?
Mm-hmm. Joe Mazzulla wants fighting back in the NBA. Did you see that?
I did see that. That's the most Joe Mazzulla thing ever.
Straight up fighting?
Remember his
How often was there really fighting? And don't get me like, oh, yeah, oh, remember when Van Gundy grabbed the ankles of the Heat? I remember that. There wasn't a lot of fighting.
No.
If there was a Celtic, who would be the one to throw mitts?
Mazzulla.
Like,
it would be
Mazzulla.
You mean players.
What player?
Pritchard.
Pritchard, probably. Yeah.
Yeah?
I bet, like, if you, I don't know. I mean, Holiday, I bet.
Not
could,
Tatum.
Holiday could handle himself.
Maybe Jalen.
Maybe. He's had some opportunity to kind of get in people's faces, and he kind of sort of does.
Tillman's a big dude?
Tillman is a big dude. Maybe he's a gentle giant, though.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not. Yeah, they don't really have any fighters. That's the thing.
Against
Miami. That's the other thing that stands out with the Celtics. Like, they don't have any dinks or like wild cards where you're like, well, as long as this guy stays out of trouble, they're going to be okay. Like, they don't really have that at all.
It's a complete 180 from like the 2008 team where all of those, they were just all dogs and vicious.
Oh, like Morris and like Rozier and those guys.
You had people who would throw down.
Yeah, not anymore.
No. All right, Terp, every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, Celtics Wednesday, we talk to Terp, get the latest on what's going on with the team. We'll do a Bruins Thursday tomorrow with Razor at 12:30, I think, normally at 11:30.
Yeah, he's traveling with the team.
Traveling. So we'll get him a little later on in the program. Terp, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
All right, Justin Turpin. Check out his work at WEEI on Twitter, Justin M. Turpin. Follow along for all the good Celtics coverage there. Let's get back to the Patriots. Gerard Mayo has concluded speaking. We'll dig into some of the things he said about Drake May and his availability this weekend. How concerned should we be about Drake May's latest injury? That's next.